Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here today. I am Doris Bumunghui, and
I'm Josh, everyone. It's very good to be back talking to you about wise money choices.
My name is Hazel, and I like talking about money.
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert, and I look forward to today's article.
Well, you know, people really talk about money a lot and think about it a lot. It's something we use. It's an exchange. I kind of like the way the old American Indians did. They wouldn't just use money. They would bring something in and exchange it for something else. But money is kind of an exchange thing. But it became very important in society. And now there's a lot of ideas about money that are wrong. And what do we call those?
Those we call misconceptions, right?
Common money misconceptions. One of them, the misconceptions is, it's not written here, is that money can make you very happy. That's mm-hmm. kind of a misconception, because money can cause people to be nervous and worry about something's going to happen. What else can it do?
It can cause you to forget about the things that really do make you happy.
So like connections with other people.
Envious of other people. It makes you greedy.
It makes people
unhappy.
Go out and rob
exactly.
banks or something.
Mm-hmm. Desperate.
You know, get in mm-hmm. trouble with the law.
True.
Another misconception that's not here is that money grows on trees.
Yes, that's right. Money doesn't grow on trees. Have you ever heard your parents say that? If you wanted to buy something that they thought you didn't need, they might say, well, remember, money doesn't grow on trees. Did your folks ever say that to you, Albert?
No, they didn't.
I think it's kind of a Western expression.
Right. I've heard it many times.
Yeah, you do.
I wonder if money does grow on trees for lumberjacks, though.
Because that's what they do. They work on trees, and that's how they get their money.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, but it's just a fun idiom. It just means that you
money
have to work
grow
for
on
money.
Trees. That's true. But we're on page 23 today, and we're going to talk about some what are kind of wrong ideas and see what you think about. Don't you think this would be a good subject for today?
I think so. I always am interested in talking about misconceptions and getting to the...
Right, so let's start to read this first part here when it talks about money. Let's just read the very first paragraph.
Common money misconceptions. When it comes to your money, the wrong financial advice can lead to some serious consequences for your wallet and possibly even your credit score. So, if someone ever gives you one of the following pieces of advice, politely nod your head, but disregard everything you were told. You don't want to fall victim to these common misconceptions.
So here we're talking about wrong financial advice that can lead to some serious consequences. And this is important because consequences of bad financial advice or the results of doing something poor or wrong with your money can really affect you for a long period of time.
A consequence is a result that comes from it. So it means that for your wallet means that you won't have any money left. You'll have an empty wallet. That will be the consequence. You use too much money. But how can that affect your credit score?
Well, you may follow some bad advice. Maybe you use your credit card for something and then you can't pay the money back because it's too expensive, more than you can afford. And when you can't pay your credit card off or you can't pay what you owe, then your credit score goes down.
Well, don't you find, Albert, that sometimes people will give you advice and tell you, you know, that you should do this, you should do that, you invest your money here, buy that. We hear that a lot, don't we?
Well, I feel like, you know, as humans, we tend to be, we try to be helpful, and we try and, you know, impart advice. Sometimes there can be misconceptions.
So what if somebody comes up to you and say, well, I think you should save all your money, don't use anything, and are you going to argue with them, or what are you supposed to do?
Well, I think it depends on the person, you know, but I try to keep an open mind and hear as much as possible and consider for myself what's the best course.
And I think here it gives us a little bit of advice, too.
Yes.
It says just kind of nod your head if you're listening, but then don't follow through on it. So in other words, be polite, but you don't really need to take their advice.
No, that's a good policy for a lot of things. We don't always agree because of our backgrounds and the way we've been brought up and so forth. But if people talk about something you don't agree with, you don't have to argue with them or get upset. You can just say, well, thank you for telling me. And you don't have to say, I'm not going to do that anyway. And just politely just disregard that. So this is a very good thing for any type of a subject. Even politics. You don't like this person and they don't like that person in the government. Well, don't argue about it. Well, thank you. But you just make up your own decision. And I think this is good advice for everything.
I do too. There's no reason to really make an issue out of everything. And so sometimes when people come to you and say stuff, it's important, like Albert said, to keep an open mind, but also, like Hazel said, to just treat them politely and nod your head and smile.
Disregard means not to do it, not
exactly.
Paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it anyway. Well, one of the things that people will say sometimes is this next one. Let's read it.
Buy more to save more. Many people get carried away at stores like Costco and leave with a case of cereal instead of just one box. Buying in bulk might seem like an obvious way to save money at first glance, but purchasing something at 50% off is still 100% wasteful if you don't use it all.
So I like this idea of getting carried away, of buying more to save more. So this idea.
Who gets more carried away, women or men?
Oh, I think it depends on the person. So I know that my wife will get less carried away by deals than I will because she is very, very, very
careful.
Intentional and careful about what she likes to purchase.
Well, sometimes women go shopping, get carried away, and use their credit card to buy things they don't need, and the husbands don't like that very well.
That also can happen, too.
It can happen either way, can it?
It can happen.
But don't get carried away. That means don't do anything too excessive, something you don't need to do. Do you ever get carried away with anything? Sometimes
sure.
You
start something or you have an idea and then you just forget to think about the results. You just do more and more of it, you know. So some people get carried away with maybe even gambling or an addictive habit.
I get carried away with eating. If there's a whole lot of food,
yeah.
I have to go to the buffet, and I don't usually eat that much, but man, there's that buffet.
So
you lose control.
Don't stop and think. You get carried away.
Do you ever get carried away with anything else?
Oh, yeah, especially with Costco. You go there, you're like, I'm just going to buy toilet paper, and you end up spending thousands of dollars.
Get carried away. Okay, so you get too many things because, you know, they have these in large amounts because it's supposed to be cheaper. And so you say, wow, this is cheap, or 50% off, and you don't need it, so you buy it anyway. Well, one thing I think you can do, especially if you work in an office or have a lot of friends, as you can say, well, okay, let's go to Costco and buy this and we'll divide it up. That's the way I like to do.
What I like to do is don't go shopping when you're hungry, especially at a grocery.
Right.
And also, if you make a list ahead of time, then just stick to that list. It'll be a lot more helpful. Because when you get to Costco and you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is so cheap, and I think what ends up happening is you fit it into your life.
That's
true. Like, I can use it like this, but you don't really.
Especially if they have a sample and you can taste it.
Oh
that's making it worse.
You get carried away.
But anyway, just remember, don't buy things you don't need. That's what they're trying to say here. Isn't that true?
Well, or buying in bulk, which means you have to buy a lot, but you save money.
Unless you can share with your friends.
Right.
Unless you already say, let's six of us get together and then we'll share. Then it might be cheaper.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true if it's something that will... food, perhaps, that has an expiration date on it.
Right, that's true. You have to be careful.
If it's maybe toilet paper, like you must have bought a lot of if you spent thousands.
You can keep that longer.
At least you can store it and it doesn't go bad.
That's true.
Or another thing is, have you ever done this? Like you have a favorite food item, but then you eat so much of it, you don't want to eat any more of it.
You get sick of it, right?
So then buying
But you have to use it all.
But you have to use it all because you bought it, right?
So if you save money, but then you end up wasting the product, you're not really saving.
Okay, so that's a misconception that if you buy, you save. You might not save if you buy food and it spoils or something like that. Well, let's take the next one. What is the next one? Let's read it.
You can't take it with you, so why save money? A spend-happy friend or family member might use this excuse to chastise you for being frugal. It's an irrational reason for spending freely and worrying about the consequences later. After all, odds are your overspending habits will catch up with you.
Well, this sentence here about you can't take it with you, when talking about a spend-happy friend or family members, that people that like to use a lot of money, they might use this as an excuse to chastise you. What does it mean to chastise somebody?
Well, to chastise someone basically just means to really criticize them kind of severely, right?
Right.
In a very, very sort of, I don't know, overbearing way.
So they might use this to criticize you for being frugal. And what does it mean to be frugal?
To be very, very careful with your money, to not want to spend it.
Right. Is there any other words we sometimes use for people that are frugal?
Miser.
Misers, cheap. Yeah, that's
penny
right.
Penny pincher.
That's a good
penny
one.
Pincers, penny pincher, right, okay. So some are spend happy and some are, like we call misers that way. But it says it's an irrational, it doesn't make sense for spending freely and worrying about the consequences later. You could say, just spend all the money you want. And if you're overspending all the time, more than you have, it's going to catch up with you. So there's a lot of words in this paragraph compared to the rest of them. How can it catch up with you?
Well, the idea of something catching up with you means that if you've done something, you are doing something that will have consequences, but not right away, that those consequences will catch up with you later.
Bad results, usually.
Exactly.
When something catches up with you, it's usually bad habits, isn't it?
Right. So your spend-happy friend says you can't take it with you, that when you die, well, you're going to lose all your money. You can't take it, beyond the grave.
Now,
so
right.
Just spend all you can now. But that can catch up with you. You can't do that. You need to save some for the future, perhaps.
So what is the misconception here in this one, then?
The misconception is that you should spend all your money.
Because you can't take it with you.
Because you can't take it with you.
Now, you don't need to be too frugal. I think you need to be a little bit in between and not say, I'm never going to spend any money because I want to be sure and have some when I retire. And when you retire, you might either be sick or you might have left the world already. Who knows? But,
right.
You know, it's good to spend some money. Don't be so frugal that you're tight with your money. But on the other hand, you don't want to be a spendthrift.
Right.
Some are frugal and some are too much of a spendthrift.
Exactly. I think the other thing they're getting at here is that you might find people would be like, live for the moment, like you're here now, you might as well enjoy yourself here. But I think the idea is that while that's okay, sometimes you really want to make sure that you're not getting into habits where you're just spending all the money that you have and you're not saving for things that might come up in the future.
So some people recommend, say, having an emergency fund.
Yes.
Maybe you lose your job or maybe you get ill and you need
a little
extra
bit of
cash.
Money, right.
And so you do need to plan ahead. You just can't spend everything.
No, you can't spend freely all the time
no.
and say, well, I'm not going to worry about it. Next week, I'm going to just spend it all now. Then you have to worry about the consequences. Next week, you might wish that you hadn't
right.
spent it all.
And another phrase you might hear is living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
Spend all your money from this paycheck and then wait for the next one. But
so
that's
put a little bit aside.
Not
that's
a good idea.
Be a little bit frugal. So,
right.
You can't just waste your money. On the other hand, don't be so tight that you don't spend any of it either. So it's kind of a combination there, don't you think?
Definitely.
Right. Okay, well, those are some good ideas to start with. Now, I think there's another idea coming up that I don't know if any of you have thought of this or not. Let's turn to page 24 and read the first one.
It's cheaper to buy a new car every few years. Sure, it's tempting to buy a new car every few years. And yes, sometimes buying a new car and getting rid of an old one can reduce your overall expenses. But be aware that every time you buy a new car, you're most likely going to face new monthly car payments, insurance payments, taxes, and more.
So So this idea, I think, is strange to some people, but for the people who do it, they just think it's the best idea in the world.
Have you ever heard of somebody that does that? Like say, well, I'm going to buy a new car. This is old.
Not that I know of, like in my immediate circle, but I feel like maybe this advice comes from when cars would break down easily and they would waste.
Break down. It's just like in America, sometimes people feel that way.
Yeah. We had some family friends and their whole family, their children were old enough to drive, and every few years they would just turn in their old cars and get brand new ones. They were very careful about keeping them nice and clean, and we always thought, oh, why don't they sell their old cars to us? They're practically new. But it's very true. Then you have new car payments and insurance is higher because your car is brand new.
Well, I think they try to, the advertising tries to show you some new feature on
a
car.
That's right.
Like when new car came out, they said this car parks itself and you just don't have to do it. Or they have some feature that the old cars don't have. You can use your phone on this one or something. So some reason for you, that you don't just say, well, I like the looks of it. Or they make this model look a little different, or it's stronger, or the windows are bigger. They make new features to tempt you.
Right, but remember, every time you drive a new car out of the parking lot, you lose thousands of U.S. dollars because the resale value goes down so quickly.
That's true. So remember that about cars.
Yeah, it doesn't mean never to buy a new car.
So what's interesting is that people, like, for instance, buying refrigerators and washing machines, we keep them for 10 or 20 or more years. We never think of changing them.
Right.
But for cell phones, you got to buy one every year because they change. And there's certain things, if you don't buy it, then you can't use the features on it. So the people that manufacture these things try to get us to buy a new one every year. You know, and I mean, cell phones, you almost have to buy a new one every year. You let us out.
And that advice might be more practical to most of our listeners rather than buying new cars all the time. Do you always need a new cell phone all the time?
Sometimes you have to because the programs won't work or something like
that.
Or new computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, be careful with your money. And sometimes you think you don't have enough money to follow a budget. Let's read that one. That's on page 24, the second item.
You don't have enough money to follow a budget. It's always important to be financially responsible. Following a budget helps you monitor your finances regardless of the amount of money in your account. Plus, after following a budget for a few months, you'll see an improvement in your spending habits and an increase in your savings.
Well, you know, you sometimes really have to set a limit on what you spend. And, you know, there's a lot of guides online that can help you break that down. But if you just, you know, be on budget, I feel like it'll really help you out in the long run.
Well, now, we don't really have very big salaries, you know, here, but do you think that you have to make a budget because you don't have a real big salary, Albert?
Oh, most definitely. I feel like regardless of your salary, you should be making a budget. This way you can, like Hazel mentioned earlier, like in case of an emergency or a rainy day, right, you have something saved up for a special case or some unforeseen event.
I would think that probably if you don't have very much money, that's more of a reason for you to make a budget. What do you think, Hazel?
I would agree with that. If you're living on a tight budget, you only make a certain amount of money or fixed income, you need to be very careful how much you spend.
How much you spend on lunch.
So you want to write it out maybe and make a budget, how much you spend for meals, how much for entertainment, travel.
That's right.
I also think the important part of making a budget is to set goals for yourself so that you know that you want to, at the end of the month, have a little bit of money set aside, maybe for some travel, maybe for putting into a fund for buying yourself a place someday. But the idea is that you really kind of keep track of those day-to-day expenses so they don't get out of control, so you don't find you're spending all your money on food.
Well, Josh just said, you know, that at the end of the month you find you have enough. Josh, I think probably what you have to do if you're on a budget is put that money aside first. Don't wait till the end of the month because you might not have any left. So probably just say that this money is going to be put aside for travel because we want to make a trip. I'm putting it in a travel fund. So you probably better take it off the top.
I think that's a really good point, because I've heard some cultures, you know, where people, after they get their paycheck, the first thing they do is hit the bars and celebrate with their coworkers. And then sometimes, you know, it's unfortunate, but like, they don't want to put aside money for family.
Hit the restaurants, hit the bargains at the clothes shops, buy some clothes. Yeah.
So I've been very fortunate to find a little app on my smartphone that allows me to do what people used to do, which was to create envelopes. So the idea is that when you get your paycheck, you cash your paycheck, and you take all of that cash and you put it into different envelopes that you'll use over the course of the month. So you have an envelope for rent. You have an envelope for food. You have an envelope.
You mean the app takes the money, or you put it in a drawer?
Well, so it would be nice if the app would take the money and put it in the drawer for me. But the idea is that you actually plan out how you're going to spend your money at the beginning of the month, and then you stick to it.
Your budget's on your phone.
Exactly.
The app is like a visual representation of the money you've allotted for each thing.
Well, now when you use your money, does the app show you that you write down when you use it, so they say you're going over your budget?
It does. It tells me even like maybe if I should think about not spending any money in that category for a certain amount of time.
Well, Josh, you have to tell us what the name of the app is. You can't go
this
far.
That's right.
It's called Good Budget, and I'm allowed to use it for free. So it's a very nice budgeting app.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, so that's a good idea. So another thing here, the next one, the very last one says, it's cheaper to eat fast food than to buy groceries. And that's a very good point, but it might be a misconception. It might not quite be the right idea. Let's read that.
It's cheaper to eat fast food than to buy groceries. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, couples in the 19 to 50 year age range following a modest food budget spend approximately $142.70 per week on groceries as of December 2015. However, consumers spend an average of approximately $7.25 per person per meal on fast food, according to a Citi Research survey of 18 popular fast food restaurants. Clearly, it makes more financial sense to buy groceries rather than eat fast food for every meal. Plus, it's healthier.
Okay, so here we have an interesting one that I sometimes work with as well, which is that it's cheaper to eat fast food than to buy groceries.
Mm.
So this idea that sometimes, you know, you're really tempted to go for the fast food because it sounds really cheap, but then actually, if you look at it in the long run, it could be much more expensive than buying your own groceries and doing your own food.
Especially nowadays, they keep raising the price on everything all the time. You know, it used to be cheap. Can you imagine that many years ago, when I was young, you could buy a hamburger for 5 cents.
Whoa.
Or 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Now it would be a few, $3.
$3-4.
Yeah.
At least.
It kind of makes sense, right? Because these fast food restaurants and chains, they're a business and they want to get profit. And so they're making money somehow. So I'm guessing, you know, if you just think about it that way, it's cheaper for you to buy food and make it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true that I know in Asia sometimes we do have restaurants are not necessarily fast food, but if you're working in an office and you don't have time to do a lot of shopping for food and buying a lot, sometimes you can get a very good Chinese meal for a good price. That is really cheaper to do that than it is to try to buy it and cook it yourself. So there's two ways of looking at that.
There are two ways of looking at it. And I'm a huge fan of sesame noodles. It's a nice, cheap way to get some good
New Roman is good too, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hundun and all stuff. So it all depends on what it is. But they're just talking about the regular fast food chains where you get your French fries and all that kind of thing. Usually the price on those goes up a little bit too. But you don't get as healthy a meal sometimes.
And especially if you have a family. I know when I go out with my brother and he spends just for a fast food meal for his family, it's like, whoa, that's so expensive.
Yeah.
So it depends, but prices are certainly higher now.
Sure.
And one of the things that doesn't take into consideration, like fast food also can have a consequence on your health.
That's right? True. There's too much salt and too much grease.
So can my cooking.
But anyway, it's more financial. It says here it's better to buy groceries other than eat fast food. And it's probably, I'm sure it is, healthier because you don't have all the MSG and the salt and the fat in it. So there's some good advice here. It's fun to look at this article because it's important for us to take control of our life, of our time. We found at the beginning of the month that we need to take care of our brains. Now we have to take care of our money and our finances. So in advance, we can talk about different ways to make us have a happier life. And later on this month, we're going to talk about living happy. So be sure and be here every day for advance. We're so glad you could be with us today. Thank you, all of you panelists, for coming. Please come back again and join us. We do that.
I'd love
yes.
to.
Yeah. And everybody, we'll see you every day here as we get together and discuss things in English. So thanks for being with us now. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.